Chapter 1. 60 miles west, and a mere 30 years after the debacle at the Little Bighorn, the town of Colson, Montana was all grown up. The 20th century arrived 6 years ago, and for some it couldn't have happened soon enough. City fathers had big plans for this town. It could even become the San Francisco of the Northern Plains if they played their cards right. Clapboard buildings were being replaced with brick. Gas-lit streetlights bathed the main street with a warm glow at night. Muddy dirt roads were giving way to cobblestone, and even horses, those manure machines, were being replaced with automobiles. Not many in 1906, but enough to let the folks see what the future looked like. Yes, sir, the future looked good. At least for some, if not for all. Old ways die hard, and traditions are like religion. If it's good enough for your grandpappy, it should be good enough for you. Today, the clash between the old and the new was about to play out again on Minnesota Avenue. Cowboys on horseback and gas-powered vehicles just seemed unable to share the road. Disagreements between horsemen and motorists often began with shouts, escalated to fists, and occasionally ended in lead. Right now, some young Jasper at the far end of the street was riding his brand spanking new $200 motorbike from some Eastern manufacturing company called Harley-Davidson. It was noisy, smelly, and sounded like it wanted to explode. This young fool was treating the town to his dubious skills as he weaved from one side of the street to the other. Pedestrians dropped bags of groceries. Others dived for alleyways. Horses bucked and reared in fright, dumping their riders onto the ground. A trio of cowboys loafing in front of the Atlas Saloon watched this spectacle until they, by God, had seen enough. "Watch this," one of them announced, as he reached for his lariat hanging from his saddle horn. As the motorbike rider made another pass, the cowboy swung his lariat into the air with the ease of a man who made his living roping moving targets. His aim was true, and he lassoed that rider by dropping the loop over his head and around his chest, pinning both arms to his side. In an instant, he yanked the rider off the motorbike, landing him hard on his rump. The riderless motorbike continued down the street, careening wildly until it crashed into a hitching post in front of the barber shop. His cowboy buddies let out a rodeo cheer, and most of the pedestrians breathed a momentary sigh of relief. Until their benefactor got ugly. Not content to restore order to the street, he decided to dish out some cowboy justice to this impudent tenderfoot. With his hand still tight around the lariat, he swung up into the saddle of his horse and began dragging the hapless motorist the length of Minnesota Avenue and back. His pards roared their approval. But most folks in the street began shouting at the cowboy to stop before somebody got killed. Full of himself, the cowboy decided to make another pass when another lariat sailed into the air and caught him around the waist. As he felt the rope tighten, he dropped his lariat and reached for the rope that now held him prisoner. Before he could extricate himself, it jerked tight and pulled him off his horse, landing him flat on his back. As he tried to get to his feet, a tall, imposing figure grabbed him by the collar and sent him sprawling to the ground again with a crashing fist to the jaw. His name was Mason, C.J. Mason, sergeant with the Colson Police Department. He just finished a late lunch at the Oasis Cafe and stepped outside to let his bowl of chili settle. The weather was warm this afternoon, blue skies interrupted by occasional white puffy clouds that looked like cotton, and a light breeze that made it good to be outside. But the sudden clamor down the street demanded a lawman's decisive action. As the subdued cowboy looked up from the ground, he saw Mason standing above him, slowly coiling up his rope and shaking his head in disapproval. This cowpoke's other two saddle pals were not so ready to call it even. Mason's abrupt termination of their fun was an affront to their pride, and law or no law, they were going to settle up right now. Running towards Mason, the two rambunctious cowpokes unwisely pulled their pistols and snapped off a few poorly aimed shots at Mason. One bullet shattered a window across the street, and the other crashed into the upper door jamb of the livery stable. They might have been pros with a rope, but they were clowns with a gun. Still, they had to be taught a lesson. Mason whirled around, drawing his pistol from its holster at the same time, thumbed the hammer back, and fired at one of the cowboys, hitting the crown of his hat and blowing it clean off his head. The stunned cowboy stopped dead in his tracks. He couldn't have been more surprised if he'd been dealt a fifth ace in a poker game. The other instantly threw his gun away and surrendered. As fast as it started, the fracas ended. Mason congratulated himself for a job well done, until he scanned the boardwalks and saw the expressions on some of the onlookers. Mothers were hunkered down, shielding their children from stray bullets, and store owners huddled together, whispering their outrage and calculating the loss of business. He turned and offered his apologies. "Sorry, couldn't be helped." Then he turned and escorted the remorseful cowboys to the police station.